Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, Maharaj Amrish, you have invited me to eat as a guest, but instead of feeding me, you yourself have eaten first. Because of your misbehavior, I shall show you something to punish you. Purport. A devotee cannot be defeated by a so-called mystic yogi. This will be proved by the failure of Durvasa Muni's endeavor to chastise Maharaj Ambarish. Harav abhaktasya kuto mahat gunaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord has no good qualifications, however great a mystic, philosopher or fruitive worker he may be. Only a devotee emerges victorious in all circumstances, as will be shown in this incident involving the rivalry between Durvasa and Maharaj Ambarish. Yo mam atithim ayatam atithyena nimantracha adatva bhuktavam stasya sadyaste darshaye phalam. This is a beautiful verse that outlines the mindset of Durvasa Muni. Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, Harav abhaktasya kuto mahad guna. For one who is not a devotee of the Lord, where is the good qualities? So one must first understand who is this Durvasa Muni and also understand who is Ambarish Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada writes, the incident involving the rivalry between Durvasa and Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish, who is a great devotee, will come across victorious. So who is Durvasa Muni is the first question. So does anyone have any inputs or idea? Who is Durvasa Muni? We've heard of Durvasa Muni, right? He's an expansion of Lord Shiva. Very good. So there are two scriptures, two Puranas, Srimad Bhagavat Puran and Brahmanda Puran. Both the Puranas give the origin of Durvasa Muni. First we will discuss the Bhagavat Puran. In the Bhagavat Puran, Mother Anasuya wants to have a child like the Supreme Lord. And her husband is Atri Rishi, who is a very powerful Rishi. And she approaches Atri Rishi and says, please, let's have a child. But our child should be special. He should have all the powers that are there in the Supreme Lord. And then they do penance, and ultimately Atri Rishi and Anasuya are awarded with a child. But not one child, they are awarded with three children. The first child is an incarnation or an expansion of Brahma, and his name is Chandra, the moon. Another child is an expansion of Lord Vishnu, and his name is Dattatreya. He is one of the incarnations of Lord Vishnu. And the third child is an expansion of Lord Shiva, and his name is Durvasa. So this is the reference in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Brahmand Puran, there is another reference, which is also very interesting. Once Lord Brahma has a dispute with Lord Shiva. So even Brahmaji and Shivaji, they have disputes. Why? Because they are dominated by the modes of nature. Wherever there is a predominance of modes, there will be disputes. So in that dispute, Brahmaji is cool, but Shiva becomes very upset and angry. And he becomes so upset and angry that he carries on his anger to his house. So even with Parvati Devi, he remains upset and angry. And Parvati Devi ultimately says, enough is enough. I cannot stay with you anymore. When somebody is constantly angry, you cannot stay with that person. Right? So Lord Shiva, who's constantly angry because of something that he's upset about, Parvati Devi says, sorry, I cannot stay with you anymore. So Vasa means to stay. Dur means difficult. So Durvasa means difficult to stay. It's difficult to stay with you, Parvati Devi says. So Lord Shiva, he meditates, he says, oh, Atri and Anasuya, they are expecting a child. Let me send my anger personified into the womb of Anasuya. And that personified anger of Lord Shiva appears as Durvasa. Durvasa literally means nobody can stay with him. It's impossible to stay with him. Because he's always angry. He's always upset. For everything he becomes upset. If you do good to him, he's upset. If you do bad to him, he's upset. So no solution. So Durvasa. So Durvasa is also another synonym for Krodha. Krodha means anger. So this is the origin of Durvasa Muni. He is anger personified. So Lord Shiva is indirectly the father of Durvasa. Durvasa knows this. He is very well aware. But in terms of Durvasa Muni's realization, he is a Brahmavadi. So he has realized the Brahman platform, but he is not a devotee of the Lord. So that is Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni, we know he has had many interactions with many devotees, including Draupadi. After Draupadi had, and the Pandavas, when they were in the forest, they had finished taking their dinner, and then Durvasa Muni appeared with 60,000 disciples because he was instigated by Duryodhan to go there. Duryodhan said, there is a way to finish these Pandavas immediately. If Durvasa can be made upset by them, Durvasa will finish them. So he sent Durvasa, and Durvasa said, oh, you know, I'm hungry, I'm going to take bath, come back. And then Draupadi, she had one grain left in the pot. And Lord Krishna, he changed that into, he took that grain and had himself. And as soon as Lord Krishna had the grain, Durvasa Muni was still taking bath. He had a big belch. And he felt so heavy in his stomach, he felt like, I cannot eat anymore. So Lord Krishna is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. But Durvasa Muni is very notorious for getting upset because he is anger personified. So that is one personality here, Durvasa. Against Durvasa is Ambarish Maharaj. Who is Ambarish Maharaj? Ambarish Maharaj is Mahabhagavat. Yes, yes, definitely. Ambarish Maharaj was great-grandson of Manu. So Manu's son is Nabhaga. Nabhaga was a great pious king. His son is Nabhaga. Nabhaga was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Lord Hari. There is another pastime we can go into. And Nabhaga's son is Ambarish. Ambarish Maharaj's capital was Mathura. He appeared 4 trillion years ago, Satyuga. And he was a devout devotee. He would not miss a single Ekadashi. Why? Ekadashi is so special. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Ekadashi is very special because Madhava Tithi Bhakati Janani. Anyone Bengali here? Any Bengalis? Nandan Prabhu is Bengali. Madhava Tithi Bhakati Janani. So what is Madhava Tithi? The day of Lord Hari, Madhav. That Tithi, that day, is Bhakati Janani. Is the mother of Bhakti. Janani means mother. So by following Ekadashi, one can get the blessing of pure devotional service. So Ekadashi is very powerful. Ekadashi Devi is very, very powerful. There is another pastime of how Ekadashi Devi appeared. Ekadashi Devi appeared from the left portion of the Lord. So she is an expansion, direct expansion of the Lord. So Amrish Maharaj was in Mathura. He was following Ekadashi. And on the Dwadashi day, Ekadashi is the 11th day, Dwadashi is the 12th day. On the Mahadwadashi day, in the Krishna Paksha of the month of Kartik, Maharaj Amrish had followed Ekadashi for one full year. So we generally follow Ekadashi for one day. There is another option we can try, if those who wants to try. We can follow Ekadashi up to... So we today is say Muktika Ekadashi. I'm just randomly giving a name. So Muktika Ekadashi, Paran time for tomorrow morning will be 6:37. So instead of breaking the fast tomorrow morning, we can wait until the next year and break the fast. That is also acceptable. That is a special Ekadashi if we can do that. And the Ekadashi Amrish Maharaj did was even more special because he did not even have water. Complete fast. So Amrish Maharaj was fasting for Ekadashi. And you have this Durvasa Muni coming. And Durvasa Muni has come, he knocks on the door. Amrish Maharaj is a grihastha, he is a king. Durvasa Muni thinks, I am a Brahman. I am an expansion of Lord Shiva. This is a mere, you know, king, kshatriya, lower caste than me. He is supposed to serve me. So as soon as Durvasa Muni appears, Maharaj Amrish with folded palms welcomes him and says, you have come at the most opportune moment. The Mahadwadashi has begun. I have, my Paran time is coming. So I will break the fast after you have had prasadam. So please accept some Mahaprasad. See, this is the system in India. When a guest arrives, first of all, guest is called, anyone, what is guest called? Atithi Devo Bhava. Atithi. Atithi. Atithi means what? Unexpected. Tithi means date. Atithi means no date. He has no date when he will come, when he will not come. So technically, if somebody calls you and comes, he seizes the right of being Atithi. So if somebody sends you a letter in India also, I'm coming in 1 week. Okay, then no more Atithi. But otherwise, Taittiriya Samhita, Vedas, Taittiriya Samhita says, Atithi Devo Bhava. Please consider Atithi as Deva. Why? Why should we consider Atithi as Deva? Because it is explained, Mahaprabhu also in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu says, Gruhasthere Mahaprabhu Shikhayeno Dharma. For the grihasthas, Mahaprabhu taught one dharma. What is that one dharma? Atithira Sheva Gruhasthera Mula Karma. Atithira Sheva. The serving of Atithi is the Mula Karma, is the most important karma. Why? Because Atithi can be difficult. Like Durvasa. And by serving Atithi, one develops tolerance. The brahmachari develops tolerance by being dependent on the guru and dependent on the ashram and dependent on other saha ashramis, the other brahmacharis. He is dependent, he doesn't have any source of income. The grihastha becomes more tolerant by serving the atithis, by serving the guests. The Vanaprasthi and Sannyasi, they tolerate their disciples. So there is tolerance which is in all ashrams. It is taught. So Mahaprabhu also said Atithi is important and Atithi should be worshipped. So here comes Durvasa, who is the Atithi, who has not been, you know, he has not informed Maharaj Ambarish about his coming. But then one must ask, what is Atithi? Who is Atithi? Can anyone and everyone qualify as Atithi, as guest? That obviously, that is a question. How do you know somebody is Atithi? So there is definition. In Manu Samhita, Manu Maharaj, who is the great grandfather of Ambarish Maharaj, he defines who is Atithi. Just for clarification. So he says, Atithi means a Brahman, or one with Brahmanical qualities, who is coming to your house unannounced, number one. Number two, the Atithi should not be staying there for more than one night. So in India, there is this culture, you know, when I was young, somebody would suddenly come from the village, and they would not go till 3 months, and they expect to be served. So this is not Atithi. After first night, you serve, second night, okay, now you cook yourself. You know, it's Atithi, no, Atithi means only one night. This Manu Maharaj is defining in Manu Samhita. Atithi means one who is not living in the same village. So your neighbor cannot come and say, oh, I'm Atithi, now I want to stay with you one night. Atithi means one who has got no other means of sustenance in that village. So there are these definitions. So Durvasa Muni fulfilled all definitions. So Ambarish Maharaj said, please come. Please come into my house and please sit. So Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu says that whenever Atithi comes, a guest arrives, one should greet the guest. In ancient times also, you know, when somebody comes, they say, Bho Mahodaya Agamyatam, please come in. Then, Kinchidapi Swikarotu, please accept something, you know. Upavishatu, please sit down, they will say like this. Even great pandits, they will say, to anyone and everyone, even if it is Shudra. So we see the example of Rantidev. In the pastime of Rantidev, he fasted for 48 days. Correct? And then after 48 days, he got some meal for himself and his family. Some food and some water. And then a Brahmana came and said, oh, I'm hungry. So he's Atithi. So Rantidev said, please have this. They were starving, but he gave. And then Brahmana left, then other guests came. And then finally, when only water was left, a Chandal came with his dog. And he said, my dog is thirsty. Rantidev said, oh, please take the water. So this is because a pure devotee sees Krishna in everything. And Krishna's involvement in all circumstances. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yo mam pashyati sarvatra, he who sees me everywhere. How he sees me everywhere? He sees me in everything. Sarvam api mai pashyati, he sees me also in everything. Everything, all circumstances, he sees through the eyes of devotion. Then that person is always connected. Krishna Sambandha is always connected to Krishna. Otherwise, superficial connection. We say we know Krishna. So once Prabhupada was asked, in India, how many devotees are there? Prabhupada said, everyone is devotee, because everyone knows Krishna. Then in Vrindavan, somebody asked Prabhupada again, Prabhupada, how many devotees are there in Vrindavan? So Prabhupada said, only in this room. So then devotee said, how? You know, you said everyone is devotee. So he said, everyone in this room is pure devotee. There may be so many kinds of devotees. So, similarly, one who has Krishna Sambandha, he sees everything and everyone in relation to Krishna. And that is what Amrish Maharaj was. So now Amrish Maharaj is here. He's got Durvasa Muni who has entered. And Durvasa Muni is asked, you know, he's being offered to, he's offered a seat, he's offered respects, he's offered some meal. Durvasa Muni says, okay, please wait. I will go and take bath in the Yamuna and I will come back. Once I take bath in the Yamuna, I come back, then I can have my meal. So he went away. When Durvasa Muni went away, Amrish Maharaj was standing there waiting without any, anxiety. He was just peacefully waiting for Durvasa Muni to come back. But what happened? We all know what happens. Yeah, the Parana time is very important. When we follow Ekadashi or any fast, the Parana time is extremely important because breaking the fast in the Parana time makes the fast fruitful. Otherwise, it loses its value. So now, Amrish Maharaj, he had a choice. We also always have a choice in many circumstances. He had a choice. The time was passing quickly, and the short period to break the fast, once that is passed, then the whole fast is meaningless. So Amrish Maharaj had a choice to either break the fast or to not break it. Now if he would not have broken the fast, now all of these things are explained wonderfully by several acharyas. I'm not mentioning any names, but there are so many acharyas from various sampradayas. There are 12 wonderful commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is now available on the internet as well. So, it's only in Sanskrit, there is no translation yet, but it's beautiful. So, the explanation is given. He had a choice. Either he does Ekadashi fast, or he follows Atithi Satkar. And he respects this great Brahmana sage. Now, what are the repercussions? If he does not follow the Ekadashi fast, he is going to destroy his bhakti. It will affect his bhakti, his devotional service. But if he happens to offend this great Brahmavadi, Brahman who thinks himself no less than Lord Shiva, if he offends this Brahmana, what is the worst that can happen? Durvasa will curse him to go to hell. So the choice is to be made. So he approaches the Brahmins. See, these Brahmins, they were advisors of the king. They were like the lawmakers today, you know. And the lawyers, they always find some nook and corner, some way of fixing your situation. So Maharaj Amrish said, please help me. What can I do? So the pandits got together, the Brahmanas, and they read through the Dharma Shastra. Dharma Shastra are very clear. But there are many interpretations of the Dharma Shastra. So they got together, the council got together, and they said to the king that apashanam anashanam sama apashanam. Apashanam means drinking water is anashanam. Anashanam means as good as not eating. Ashanam sama, and also eating. Why? Because you have... So sometimes we do fast which is without water. So if you do fast without water, then breaking that fast with water is considered to be breaking fast. Because it was nirjala, without water. But if you've been eating, you know, jacket potatoes with loaded with cheese and, lots of juice and And then you say, I break fast with water. No, it doesn't make sense. So breaking fast with water is acceptable. But on the other hand, drinking water in itself is not breaking fast. So this is the duality there. So they found out this solution. Up ashanam, anashanam sama. Okay, very good. So now the council said, Amrish Maharaj, you decide what you want to do. So Amrish Maharaj made a choice. He chose to continue his Ekadashi, break the fast by having Charanamrita, Lord's Charanamrita, and he waited peacefully for Durvasa. So the Acharyas comment that this action of Amrish Maharaj, it shows how a devotee should take decisions. What should be the center of decision making? Actually, decision making is very easy. If you know what is important for you. If it is important for you to eat, and if somebody tells you, let's go on a walk. Decision making is easy. I'm hungry. I want to go and eat. But where the value is not understood clearly, what is the most valuable thing is not understood, then decision making is always a problematic thing. So Amrish Maharaj did not have this, you know, this mindset where he was confused. He was not confused. Very certain, my decision is going to be centered around what helps me in my devotional service unto the Lord. So what was helping him in his devotional service to the Lord? Following Ekadashi. So he broke the fast. Then Durvasa Muni appears. Durvasa Muni appears and he says, oh, you think you are a great devotee, but you are just a stupid, wretched fool. Because you are offending a Brahmana like me. And not only that, you are the one who invited me. So this verse is being spoken then. Yo mam atithim ayatam. Ayatam means I have come as atithi. I have come as a guest. And you are a grihastha. It is your dharma to serve the guest. Atithyena nimantrya. Atithyena means received like a guest. Nimantrya. Nimantrya means you invited me inside your house. I came at the door. You could have turned me around and said, go away. But you, nimantriya, which means you invited me inside the house, and now you are offending me by taking prasad before offering the prasad to me. So, adatva, having not given me, bhuktavams tasya. Bhuktavams means enjoyed. Actually, this word, the Acharya's comment means enjoy. So, Durvasa Muni says, you are an enjoyer. Amrish Maharaj simply had a sip of palmful of Charanamrit. This shows the mentality of somebody who is intolerant. When dealing with Vaishnavas, if we exhibit intolerance, then we suffer like Durvasa. So, adatva bhuktavams tasya. Sadhyaste darshaye phalam. Phalam means fruit. The result of your misbehavior. Sri Sri Radha Gokulam Bhagavan ki jai. Ram Sita Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Gaur Nithai ki jai. So, I'm looking at Lakshman and I'm reminded of another pastime. I'll just mention that. This is also pastime of decision making for Lakshman, and Durvasa is involved, so we will discuss that. So I was saying, intolerance. So actually Amrish Maharaj signifies tolerance. And Durvasa signifies intolerance. One who is intolerant, he will want to immediately snap back. And the last line is very important in this verse. He says, Sadhyaha. Sadhyaha means immediately. Sadhyaste darshaye phalam. I'm showing you the fruit immediately now. You see, with devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should discriminate who one associates with. But one should not judge. So, anyone here can tell us what is the difference between judging and discriminating? Yes, Prabhu. Very good. Anyone else? You see, we are told don't judge. We also, you know, even Lord Jesus Christ said, judge not for thou shalt be judged. You know, you will be judged at the end. So please don't judge. But what does that mean? We lose our discrimination and we just, you know, associate with everyone, do everything. So what's the difference? Discrimination means the ability to use one's intelligence to distinguish between what is right or wrong, good or bad. That is discrimination. Use of intelligence. Whereas judgment is like putting somebody on trial. He is bad, he is wrong, or he is right, and I will show it. I will give the result. I will award the phalam. I will award the fruit. So when one wants to act in a way, in Hindi, you know, there are in the gundas in India, they'll say, usko main dikha dunga, you know, I'll show him. This is the same mindset that Durvasa Muni has. So by the last line, the acharyas explain, by saying, sadhyaste darshaye phalam, Durvasa Muni is being judgmental. He's lost his discrimination, in fact. He's judging now. What is he judging? He's judging that Ambarish is at fault. He's judging that Ambarish needs to be taught a lesson. And he is also saying that I will be the one who will teach that lesson to Ambarish. So that is where this verse ends. And in the future verse, we will see how Durvasa Muni becomes red with anger, and from his jata, from his, how do you say jata? Yeah, from his matted locks, he pulls a hair, he throws the hair in the ground, and because Durvasa Muni's color was red, like red, reddish orange, he was so fiery inside and outside, that his entire body was reddish orange. So he would throw that one strand of hair in the ground, from the ground. Actually, Bhagavatam says he makes a akriti. Akriti means he makes a diagram of a demon. And that fire demon comes out and he goes to swallow Ambarish Maharaj. We can imagine a demon coming directly at us. Our instinct will be to run away. Ambarish Maharaj stands there with folded palms, remembering Hari, facing difficulties. Ambarish Maharaj's pastime explains us how we face difficulties. Folded palms, remembering Hari. This is Ambarish Maharaj. So, we see that he comes, the demon is then chopped, his head is chopped off by Sudarshan. And when the head is chopped off by Sudarshan, Sudarshan then chases Durvasa. Sudarshan is, who is Sudarshan? Huh? Who is Sudarshan? Sudarshanam. Sudarshanam means beautiful vision. Another meaning is perfect vision. Another meaning is from whose vision nobody can escape. And this third meaning is applied in Srimad Bhagavatam in the commentaries. That is the meaning which is applied here in this particular pastime. Because Durvasa tries to hide away. First he goes to Mount Meru in a cave. He cannot hide. Sudarshanam. He is there. The Lord's chakra can see everything. And he follows. Then he goes to Brahmaji. Brahmaji says, oh, why you came here? You are going to make my life difficult. Please go out from here. I cannot help you. If you come here, means I am automatically, if I give you shelter, I am Vaishnava Apradi, like you are. So sorry. So Durvasa says, my father will help. Lord Shiva will help. He goes to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva jumps, seeing him. Durvasa thinks he is jumping because he is excited. Shiva says, I am jumping because I want to keep a distance from you. Run away from here. Don't be in Kailash, please. You are making my entire Kailash, impure by your coming here. Run away. So he goes to Narayan. And then Narayan says, what does he say? Aham bhakta paradhinaha. I cannot help you. Why? How you cannot help? You are the master. Durvasa Muni says some nice verses, prayers to appease Lord Narayan. Narayan has no hearing for that. So once one has done Vaishnava Aparad, even Narayan does not hear. So if we are Vaishnava Aparadi and we are saying nice verses to Krishna, Krishna says first, clear yourself, then come back. So Narayan says, I cannot help. Why? He says, because I am sold out completely. Aham bhaktaha paradhinaha. I am dependent on my devotee. I am dependent on Amrish. He has captured me in his heart. How can I do anything to save you? Only he can save you. And then Durvasa goes, falls at his feet. So another aspect that the Acharyas, some Madhva Acharyas, they emphasize on is that when Sudarshan is actually following Durvasa, he is completely angry. Absolutely angry. Why? Because Sudarshan is a Param Bhakta. And when another Vaishnava is offended, Sudarshan gets more offended. So he is chasing Durvasa. So this also shows how Vaishnava dealings are. The beauty of Vaishnava dealings. We have, what time do we have to? 8:30. So I will just mention decision making. You see, when we make decisions. So Lakshmanji. So after Ramchandra returned to Ayodhya with Mother Sita, Hanuman, Lakshman, they all return to Ayodhya. There is one pastime in Valmiki Ramayana. There are many Ramayans. There are 52 Ramayans. Srila Prabhupada said, we follow Valmiki Ramayana. Why Valmiki Ramayana? Is it Veda? It is not Veda. So why should we follow it? It is at par with Vedas. How is it at par with Vedas? Mahabharata is also at par with Vedas. Panchama Veda Uchyate. Why? Because Ved Vyas composed Mahabharata. And Ved Vyas also dissected the Vedas. So same personality. Fine, but Valmiki was not Ved Vyas. And Valmiki wrote Ramayana. So why Valmiki's Ramayana is accepted at par? Ved Vyas's guru is Narada. Valmiki's guru is Narada. So they are god brothers of the same guru. So their literature are at par. This is the explanation given. So Valmiki's Ramayana we accept. There are so many other Ramayans. In every, there is Indonesian Ramayana, Javanese Ramayana. Because at one point, all of East Asia was covered with, the Hindu philosophy. They followed the Hindu philosophy. So many Ramayans. So Valmiki Ramayana mentions that towards the end of Ramchandra's pastime and Lakshman's pastime, there is one incident where Yamaraj is having a private conversation with Lord Ramchandra. And he's in his room. Koshtakaha in the room of Ramchandra. Yamraj is having conversation. And Ramchandra has told Lakshman, please do not allow anyone to enter this room until we have finished. When we are finished, I will come out and you will know. Until then, please don't allow anyone to enter. You guard outside. And if somebody comes and disturbs me, that person should be killed. Whoever comes and disturbs me, that person will be killed. So, of course, we can imagine who comes. Durvasa Muni comes. While this discussion is going on with Yamaraj, Ramchandra, Durvasa Muni appears there. And he tells Lakshman, I want to see Ramchandra now. Come on, you know, give some time, please. You settle, have some nice feast. Relax, you know. No, I want to see him now. I made up my mind. See him now. Actually, it is very interesting. When a person becomes angry, his mind gets stuck in one position. He loses discrimination. So only two kind of people, their minds are steady. One is who is in intense anger, and another is in intense love. Like Srimati Radharani. We have Radhashtami coming. So, anyway, Lakshmanji is waiting outside the room and he is stopping Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni says, if you don't let me go in now, then I will curse every single person in Ayodhya and the whole Ayodhya will perish. So Lakshman has a choice. He can either say, please go in, or he can say, I don't care. I am a Ram Bhakta. I don't care what you do. I will not go against what Ram has told me to do. What do you think Lakshman does? Lets him in? He certainly lets him in. Why? Because he does not want the entire Ram Bhakta population of Ayodhya to be cursed. To save these Vaishnavas, Ram Bhaktas, he himself is willing to die. So he himself goes in and knocks and he opens the door and he disturbs Ramchandra and Yamraj and he says, sorry my lord, but Durvasa insisted to see you. Ramchandra says, I gave you the word that if anyone disturbs, he must die. So, you must die. So then, again, technicality, they find out that if Lakshman goes away from Lord Ramchandra, if he is sent away from Lord Ramchandra's service, it is as good as death. So Lakshman is then sent away. And Lakshman stays near the Saryu River and finally he goes back to Ayodhya, Ayodhya in Paralok, not this earthly planet, but Paralok Ayodhya he returns. So this is his ending pastime. But you see, Durvasa Muni, again, choice. But the choice there was in favor of the other Vaishnavas. So when it comes to oneself, one does not care, Vaishnava doesn't care. Service is the main value, service to the Lord, which helps one make the choice. Thank you very much. If anyone has, can we take one question or...